Thank you, Helen, for those lovely messages and song you've brought to us tonight. I'd like to take this opportunity of thanking Reverend Dane for the invitation to be here and for the welcome given. It's good to be in the Lord's service, weeknight as well. It's lovely to see the harvest occasion with us and to take part in this harvest service. We're turning for our Bible reading to the book of Job, Job chapter 5. We'll begin reading down at the end of the chapter, Job chapter 5 and verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation, and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this we have searched it, so it is. Hear it, and know thou it for thy good. We'll end our reading at that place, and keep God's word open before us. And let's unite together in prayer that each one of us ask for the Lord to speak to us in the service tonight, and may the word, and that the word would be a blessing to us. Lord, we thank thee for the reading of Holy Scripture, and we ask thy blessing upon the public reading of it. Pray for the preaching of it. Grant that the preacher may be anointed with fresh oil to declare the whole counsel of God. We thank you for the messages and song from thy servant. We pray that their truth will be well bedded down in our hearts, our lives, and in the season bring forth an abundant harvest for the glory of thy name. We need thee so much tonight. We pray that thou will bless us now, that thou will pour out thy spirit upon us, and grant that the word of the Lord will have free course and be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, I was in conversation with the Reverend John Wiley, and we were talking about, in our conversation, the seasons of the year. And I happened to say then that I was very fond of the harvest season. And I remember John looking at me and said, "Brother, what's so pleasant about death?" I said, "I come to think of it, you are right, because there is the dying off of the leaves, the plants." I said, "But for all of that, John, I still like the harvest season. And the more I've thought of it, I'm still convinced that it's a lovely season for these reasons that I want to give you. Just a few of the reasons. And that is, whenever we look all around us, and even look at the display in the house of the Lord tonight of vegetable and grain and fruit, we're seeing the goodness of God. We're reminded of the goodness of God. We are told in Genesis 8 that the Lord said, while seed time, while earth remaineth, seed time and harvest wouldn't cease. We are told in Job chapter 5 that God reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of harvest. And then again, we are reminded of the warnings and the consequences of our actions by the harvest season. Because the Lord tells us in his word, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever's brought in the harvest season has been sown in months earlier. And like produces like. We learn again of the encouragements in Christian service by the harvest season. Again in Galatians chapter 6, we are told, while we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith, and be not weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And we're learning from the harvest season that if we're faithful in Christian service, no matter how long we have to wait, there will come a time of reaping. We learn also that whenever that great event of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the end of the age will take place, that whenever God would convey that truth to us, among other ways, he chooses the scene and the imagery of the harvest. So the harvest is a good season, not only for the benefits that we have, but it reminds us of the goodness of God to us. It reminds us that we're going to die. It reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ. Reminds us of the inerrancy and the infallibility of Holy Scripture. God says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest would not cease. Now, there are countries in the world where, sadly, they don't have harvests, but there is no time in the world but that there's a harvest somewhere, showing us the veracity and the inerrancy of God's word. But I want us to be reminded of the fact, just as Mr. Wiley said, harvest reminds us of death. Things are dying off. The leaves are beginning to drop from the trees now. They're certainly changing their hue. And we're learning that plants and shrubs are dying. And I want us tonight to think, using a harvest metaphor here in Job chapter 5. That death is coming to us. Only in this context tonight, I want us to consider the death of a Christian. And we base that on the words of verse 26 of Job chapter 5. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. There's a harvest image there, a harvest metaphor. We're thinking of the corn, the shock of corn, and the word of God is likening it to death. But we're thinking of the death of the Christian primarily. And let us notice, first of all, the picture of the Christian's death here. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age like as a shock of corn. What a picture. A shock of corn. Now, for corn to exist, there's a time in the past when seed was planted with the principle of corn life in it. And for a Christian to be a Christian, there was an implantation in his life of a divine principle, the new nature, the new birth. And because of that, the Christian has got everlasting life. He has got spiritual life. And if we want to live right and die right, we must be born again. We cannot die right unless we have been born again. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus said, you can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. The Lord Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You say, how does that come about? Well, there's a mighty work of the Holy Spirit wrought in our lives and the word of God and the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me explain. The Bible says that the seed is the word of God in one of the parables in Luke chapter 8 that the Lord Jesus told. And then we're told in 1 Peter 1 verse 23 that we are born again. Not of incorruptible, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, the word of God. We're told in James chapter 1 and verse 18, of his own will begat, that is, give us birth. Of his own will, He gave us birth by the word of truth. Now the Spirit of God takes the word of God, points us to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross at Calvary. And there, as we trust him, as we yield our lives to him, the evidence is there that the miracle of the new birth has taken place. And once that happens, we begin to live for the Lord Jesus. There has to be growth. There has to be development. There has to be increase. Whenever the seed, the grain is sown in the ground, the farmer can't see it anymore for a while. He goes his way. But under the soil and in the soil, there are processes taking place. And that corn seed is developing. And then some months later, there begins to be a little display of greenery above the ground. And then it grows. And then there's the ear and the full corn in the ear. And then there comes the harvest. And whenever you and I become Christians, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our lives, when we are trusting in him alone for salvation, we begin to read the Bible and pray, something we may not have done ever before. We may never have come to God's house, but we want to do that now. There's a change in our lives. A miracle has been wrought. The new birth has taken place. We have new life. It has to be fostered. It has to develop. It has to grow. And then the sunlight, the rain, the chills of winter all affect that seed under the ground, but it survives them all until the time of harvest. And Christians have their sorrows like anybody else. They have their ups and downs like anybody else. Oh, but there's something different. They have got new life. And they're growing in grace even through the very trials that they suffer. They're becoming stronger in the Lord. And as they read the Bible and pray and get out to God's house and company with one another, they become stronger and they're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the corn is growing until the harvest time comes. And then we learn something else, that when the harvest time comes, the reapers go into the harvest field. That's death. It may be an accident on the roads or an accident at work. It may be an incurable disease. It may be a heart attack. It may be a stroke. It may be some other form of dying. But the harvester comes and the seed, the corn is cut down, but very quickly it's garnered and it's brought into the barns. And in this case, it's heaven, there to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Let me ask you the question tonight. Are you of the corn, or are you of the chaff, of the tare? The only way you can tell that is, what is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in him alone for salvation? Look at the corn. There's the picture of the Christian coming into being that had to be sown. It has to grow over a period of time, like the Christian. Then it is cut down and garnered, like the Christian. But notice something else in this particular analogy here, this metaphor, this imagery of the harvest. Not only the picture of the Christian's death, but the period of the Christian's death. This is given to us in this particular verse. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Take those two phrases, a full age and in his season, and you have the period of the Christian's death. Now, let me say this to you. Full age is not always old age. We might say, whenever we hear of the death, what we would call the untimely death of a young person. Maybe even a child that hasn't lived very long on earth. Maybe a toddler. Maybe somebody who has hardly reached the years of youth. Or maybe into young adulthood with a little family dependent on him or her. And we can't understand why that person should be cut down in death. But if you look at it from this perspective, it was a full age for that person in God's sight. The season had come whenever God wanted that person harvested. I think of Robert Murray McShane and Henry Martin and David Brainard, three mighty servants of the Lord, and they all died around 30 years of age. I think of the young man called the boy martyr, William Hunter of Brentwood in the southern part of England, 19 years of age, giving his life at the stake for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And while many of God's choice servants have lived to what's called a grand old age, it's amazing the number of people who have died in their mid-50s. I think of C.H. Spurgeon. I think of John Calvin. I think of Jonathan Edwards. I think of William Chapman. I think of these people in the prime of life, whenever the church could barely have done without them, God took them. Why? The full age had come. No wonder George Whitefield, whenever he died, 57, 58, he said, man is immortal until his work is done. And he was right in that. Somebody once wrote, plagues of death around me fly. Till he call, I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit until the Son of God sees fit. That's why the psalmist wrote, that truth that is, that's why he wrote, my times are in thy hand. And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples in another context, the words bear repeating here, they said, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Just before he went back to heaven. And the Lord Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. And it's the same with us. God has kindly veiled the future from our eyes. In fact, further on in the book of Job, in chapter 7, we read these words, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? There is, but we don't know when it is. Because in chapter 14 of Job's book, we have these words in verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And in the fifth verse, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. That's how it is with us, ladies and gentlemen. We do not know. But whenever the time comes for the child of God to die, the wonderful truth is that it's timely. It's in season. And then the Christian has come to a full age. We might find that hard to take in, especially whenever we've lost loved ones that are quite young. But if they have died in Christ, there's a superintending hand. There's a loving and caring heart. They're with Christ, which is far better. The season had arrived. I wonder, my dear friend, if you're not a Christian, we're thinking of the death of the Christian, but have you ever thought of your own death? Like us, you don't know when you're going to die either. So is it not the sensible thing for us to do to make sure tonight that whenever we die, we'll go to be with the Lord Jesus, that we'll have his presence with us the moment we're struck down or if we're lying on a deathbed? At any rate, whenever we close our eyes in death and open them in eternity, do you not want to be sure that it will be in heaven and not in hell that you'll open those eyes? Again, it all depends upon what you do with the Lord Jesus and what your relationship is with him. Not the church, not the sacraments, not religion, not good works, not charity, but solely with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross at Calvary for sinners, the one who laid down his life a ransom for many, the one who shed his precious atoning blood to deal effectively with our sin. Will you come to him tonight and trust him and die as a Christian? Let me notice with you one other matter. We've seen the picture of the Christian's death here, shock of corn. We've seen the period of the Christian's death, a full age, and then his season. Notice lastly, the peace of the Christian's death. We have it in that little word, come. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age. Thou shalt come to thy grave. Now, how will the person die? We're not so much now thinking of the circumstances, accidents or diseases or whatever, but we're thinking of the manner. Will it be with peace? Will it be with serenity and tranquility? Will it be with confidence and a calmness? Oh, praise God, it can be so. There's something about the death of the Christian that's desirable. There's a man in the Bible, he was not a good man. His name was Balaam. But on one occasion, he made a remarkable appeal. And this is what he cried out. You'll find it in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 10. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. What was there about the death of the righteous that that man wanted to die that way? Well, first of all, there's the presence of the Lord. Oh, it's tremendous to have the presence of the Lord with us in every day of our lives. And the Christian has that. But whenever there's trouble or sickness or sorrow, how precious that is. But when one comes to die, to have the Lord's presence with him. And my dear friend, that's a reality. Listen to what the Lord says in Isaiah 43. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. We sing it so often in the 23rd Psalm. This is what the verse says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Somebody once wrote, in peace, let me resign my breath, and thy salvation see. My sins deserved eternal death, but thou hast died for me. What a peace the Christian has. But there's another reason why he wanted, I'm sure, to die like the righteous man, and that his last end would be like his. Not only because of the presence of the Lord, but because of the prospect that lies beyond death. Oh, this life's not the be-all and end-all of our living. As we've already seen, some people don't get too long to live in this earth. But others, no matter how long, Mr. Dane was mentioning earlier tonight that it seems so short from the beginning of the year to now. I remember quite a number of years ago going up to a hospital in Armagh to visit one of our old members. She was nearly 90 years of age at the time, and she was blind. She was faithful in coming out to God's house until weakness did not permit her to come out anymore. And I went up to see her on this particular time, as I did often, but it was near Christmas. And I remember going in, you can see her yet, sitting at the side of the bed. I pulled up a chair and said, Mrs. Preston, here we are. It's Christmas again. And when she realized it was me, she says, what? Christmas again? Where's the time going to? And then she gave a little laugh and she said, wouldn't you find that strange coming from me who is confined to this room and can't see? She says, but the time is going by quickly. And that's from an old person, nearly 90 years of age. It is going by. Even the children can bear testimony to that fact, that time is gliding swiftly by. Death and judgment draweth nigh. And it's true. But for the Christian, for the person who dies, what a prospect. The psalmist spoke of it. He says, I shall be satisfied when I wake in my likeness. John spoke of it. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Paul spoke of it just before he was martyred. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Whenever D.L. Moody was dying, this is what he said: earth recedes, heaven opens for me. If this is death, it is sweet. God is calling me and I must go. This is my coronation day. I have been looking forward to it for years. What a way to die. The great Puritan Thomas Goodwin on his deathbed said, "Ah, is this dying? How have I dreaded as an enemy the smiling of a friend?" The Lord Jesus Christ is with his people in their dying hour. That's why they have such great peace. I visited another old woman, soon to die. She was 94 years of age. I said, "Tell me how you're doing." She says, "Nice and comfy. Save many years previous." Another old man who had a double amputation, one leg amputated, in a few weeks another one amputated, went to see him and said, "Billy, how is it with you?" He says, "It's great to be saved." No wonder John Wesley said, "Our people die well." You say, "How could I die like that preacher?" We're back again to it, by having your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God has loved sinners to the very point that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that he might live on earth, obtain a righteousness for us that we need. We can't get to heaven without that righteousness. And that upon our believing, he lays it to our account, he imputes it to us. But we need something else. We need all our sins dealt with. That's why he went to the cross at Calvary, and through his atoning death, he cancels out our debt, he pays the penalty of our sin, his precious blood washes our sin away, brings us into a right relationship with God. We stand justified before him because of the work of Christ. He redeems us from the slavery of sin, gives us everlasting life, makes us clean, comes into our lives, lives the life through us by his Holy Spirit, is with us day by day. And then when the full season comes, he brings us home to heaven. My dear friend, you have to trust him personally as your Savior. Would you not say it tonight? In effect, "Then, O my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in the Savior's blood and take my sins away." The Bible says, "It is appointed unto men once to die." After this, the judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die. Job said, "I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living." It's your friend, and we're getting nearer to it by the hour. What a wonderful harvest season this would be for you if you tonight, not a Christian, said, "Lord Jesus, save my soul. Let me live for thee. So when it's time for me to die, I'll have this peace that I've been hearing of tonight, that I will come to my grave, not pulled, not dragged screaming, not shoved, but I will come with serenity and peacefulness, like a shock of corn cometh in its season." Will you trust Christ as your Savior? If you do, oh, I tell you, in the authority of God's word, you'll be a new creature. You'll have life everlasting. You'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that precious commodity, that precious experience that millions can't purchase, and that is God's peace, God's joy in your life. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank thee for what thou hast done to make the death of a Christian a joyful reality. We praise thee for thy work on the cross and for thy willingness to save men and women. Thou hast said in thy word, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." May there be those here tonight to call upon thee in faith, trusting thee as their Savior. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for us, because whenever that harvesting comes in our life, We too will go the way of all the earth, but we thank Thee that we'll be safely garnered in and be with Thee in the glory. Answer our prayers for Thy holy name's sake. Amen.